Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
What is up, everybody? We are back, day two of the Chair Shot Daily. Just a little experimental run that we're doing here at Chair Shot while I am sitting at home, and it's a welcome break from applying for jobs and doing everything I can as we continue to move things forward. You can follow me. This is Greg DeMarco, by the way, if you didn't know. You can follow me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg, and of course, you can follow thechairshot.com at thechairshot.com on the Twitter, and both of those, ChairShotGreg and TheChairShot.com, can be followed on all of your forms of social media. But allow me to introduce to you the guy who I consider to be the real star of the show, Mr. Velvet Pipes himself. He's sort of the, you know, if I had to give him a title, we call him radio personality, but in a lot of ways, he is the ambassador of The Chair Shot. That is Mr. Christopher Platt.
Greetings and salutations and greetings, everyone. Greg, it's great to be back. And I like Chair Shot Daily. I was thinking of a couple of names myself. I came up with Brunching with the Boys, Breakfast Bedlam, or Afternoon Delight.
Oh, that's a good
Morning
one.
Mayhem. Yeah, I like Afternoon Delight. Or Morning Mayhem.
Yeah, it's hard with the noon Eastern. I don't know if people consider that morning. Yeah, I like that, though. Afternoon Delight is always – can't go wrong with a phrase like that. That's just too much truth to it. So definitely do love that. You doing okay, though?
I'm doing well, man. I cannot complain whatsoever. How about yourself?
You know, given the circumstances, things are going pretty good. I had a big interview yesterday and hope to hear back on that soon. And just, you know, spending some time with the family and doing a lot of good things sort of during this downtime. So trying to make the most of it while I can.
Well, I'm sure you knocked it out the park. But either way, I'm going to send you some good vibes, brother. I hope you can hear them through feel them through the ether.
Very much appreciated. Very much appreciated indeed. But in doing this, we definitely do get to have some fun and do this daytime show as long as we can. And hopefully people are enjoying it, because today we're definitely going to have some fun, because the Royal Rumble topic has been beat to death. But I want to do a little bit of a new spin on it. But before we do that, Chris, why don't we let everybody know where they can pick up one of those brand new Chair Shot T-shirts?
Indubitably, you all can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up not just the old school. You need to go get the old school designs as well, because they're super cool. But we've got some brand new designs also that are super cool. You can wear them out to the bars. You can wear them out to the wrestling events. And just wear them out and about. As a matter of fact, if you guys tweet me at The Real C Platt a picture of your Chair Shot shirt, man, I'll put them up, retweet them, and try to get you some followers. So, again, make sure you guys go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot to pick up your official, like a referee's whistle, and I can't always say that. It's not really easy for me to say, Chair Shot merchandise. And remember, TheChairShot.com, we're not just a website. We're a movement, folks.
100%. So I definitely do love and appreciate that. And I think the movement needs to be something we may need to put on a shirt at some point, too. So I'm in talks with somebody who's going to shirt for us, and I needed something across the bottom, and I think the movement might need to be what it says, so we may be taking full advantage of that. So very good stuff. Well, what I wanted to play here today, going back several years on the old Greg DeMarco show, now worked over wrestling since we had a Miranda, Patrick and I used to have a guy who would join us on occasion by the name of Chad Perry, and Chad would always bring a game to us, and it'd be a different game that we would play with you know, different items in the world of wrestling. And a show favorite became a little thing called Odds Makers, where Chad would pose a question to us, and himself, Patrick, and I would give the odds that we think. And it'd be like, you know, what do you think the odds are that you know, the Royal Rumble is on Sunday? And, of course, we know the Royal Rumble is on Sunday, so we'd say 100% chance that the Royal Rumble is on Sunday. And so we put a percentage to it from 0 to 100. And obviously, you know, that's a lot. It's a big, big expanse from 0 to 100. So not a lot of zeros, not a lot of hundreds, a lot of, you know, 33, 65, 2%, things like that. It's where you don't want to fully rule something out unless you really want to fully rule something out. So that's what we're looking at, and that's what I want to do here today. So, because let's be honest, Chris, we talked this Rumble to death across many different platforms over the past week.
No, we have, and there's really only so much you can say about it. Like, once you give your thoughts and opinions about what's going to take place, yeah, you're just talking into the ether and saying the same shit over and over again. So, yeah, I agree with you, man. Let's have a little fun with it.
Exactly. Have a little fun. If you're looking at the show description there on the website, whenever you're listening, it does say the five different ones, or four different ones are listed. I got some more bonus ones to throw in there. If you're listening live, which I know some people don't have a chance to do because podcasting these days is rarely live, you can call us at 914-803-4532. Sharing one of those questions and have a good time with us, because that's what this is all about. At the end of the day, this is all about having fun, and that's what we want to do here. So we will definitely take the opportunity to do that with you. So we're going to dive right in, Chris, and this one is I wouldn't say a hot topic, but definitely one that is popular amongst a lot of people, and that is the Women's Royal Rumble match. This is only the second ever Women's Royal Rumble match, and I have to say, I did enjoy you trying to explain to Andrew yesterday, or last night when I listened, on Pod Is War, about the tie between Bull Nakano and Wendy Richter in the 1986 Women's Wrestling Classic in All Japan. So I got a good kick out of that, that's for sure. And I know he's kind of, you know, lobbying for the tie. But what I want to get to start things off here, and usually the first one's pretty easy. What are the odds, what are the chances that someone other than Charlotte Flair wins the Women's Royal Rumble? So the percent chances that someone other than Charlotte wins the Women's Royal Rumble match.
Well, first and foremost, make sure you guys give us a call. I mean, it's Friday. You're at work. You ain't doing shit anyway. Only day that the American public actually works is Tuesday. So we all know you're not doing shit. Quit thinking the fuck. Give us a call and give us your opinion. Somebody other than Charlotte, I'm going to put that at 10%. And that's probably being generous, because other than Charlotte, who can you really make a case for to win the Rumble? You could maybe say like a Naomi or something, and maybe her and Oscar run back that pretty good match they had on SmackDown at Mania. But other than that, I'm not really seeing anybody else out there, Greg, that's making me moist in regards to beating Charlotte. I think that's kind of a done deal.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different quote-unquote candidates. I think Becky Lynch is a candidate, even though she's not in the match. And I personally don't expect her to be in the match. And that's, you know, and it's hard because our expectations are sometimes peppered with a little bit of our own fantasy booking, so to speak. And I've got some of that, as I tend to do, but I don't expect to see Becky in the Women's Royal Rumble match, because WWE likes to do that sometimes when they don't plan on having somebody emerge victorious and try to move the fans here and there where they are. But if you factor in, there's got to be that Becky factor. Bit. And then you've also got the factor of, you know, somebody from SmackDown could win, and they could come up with another way to get to make Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey for WrestleMania. You've got Elimination Chamber, which, you know, Charlotte could emerge victorious there. There's a lot of different ways that they could make that happen. So it's funny that I say someone from SmackDown when Charlotte is from SmackDown. But I think the assumption is Charlotte wins and she moves over to Raw to challenge Ronda Rousey. So I think that's a chance. That said, I'm like you. I can't go any higher than a 15%. In fact, I'm going to come in at a 12% chance that someone other than Charlotte Flair wins the Women's Royal Rumble match, which is still pretty low. So I'm going to stick with that one and see what everybody thinks there, which puts you and I at an average of 11%. So we do not expect much of a chance of anyone else emerging victorious out of this Women's Rumble match other than Charlotte Flair. And I think that's pretty reasonable, Chris.
No, I agree with that. Now, what do you think the match order is going to be? Because I could see a scenario in which the Women's Rumble leads off the show this year. And if that's the case, obviously I don't think there's any way that Becky would be involved with that.
That would be a surprise to me if the Women's Royal Rumble match led off the show because of that whole Becky factor. I actually think Becky and Asuka are going to kick things off at the Royal Rumble. I think Becky's going to be first person out and get that huge pop from the crowd and really get things going to kind of open up the chances of Becky appearing again later in the night. Because I think Becky and Nia are going to have more than one run in on Sunday to further that story along that everybody seems to think is over, which I know we talked about yesterday. So I think the Women's Royal Rumble match itself, I see sliding somewhere in the middle of the show. I think the men are going to main event. I think either of the world title matches could even go on last in this round. Maybe even Ronda and Sasha Banks, who knows. But of the possible main events, I see either world title match, I see the men's Royal Rumble, and I see Ronda and Sasha Banks as potential main events. I don't see the women's Royal Rumble match going on last. I don't see Becky and Asuka going on last. That to me is a first and middle kind of a proposition. What do you think?
No, I agree with you, man. It seems like there's main events all over this card. You know, to quote Uncle Bruce Pritchard, any of these matches would be a main event anywhere in the world.
Yeah, this is a hell of a card. I mean, it's funny because some people are sleeping on TakeOver a little bit and thinking that maybe it's a little lackluster compared to some previous TakeOvers when you look at the talent not on the card, one of which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But this Royal Rumble card is stacked, and it only got better, in my opinion, when they did the swap Finn Balor for Braun Strowman. I enjoy that swap. Let me get your opinion. We'll sidebar for a second here. There's a lot of people complaining, and I've even seen articles calling WWE out for the bait and switch where John Cena is still advertised for the Royal Rumble, and people seem to think he's not going to be there. And Braun Strowman being advertised as the opponent for Brock Lesnar until a couple weeks ago, saying that the WWE is doing that to sell tickets and then really putting on the match they actually want to see. And they even cited Alexa Bliss versus Trish Stratus being announced for Evolution and then not taking place. Do you buy that? What do you think?
Card subject to change, brother. What do you want them to do? I mean, let's keep it a buck and a half. Who's going to sell more tickets? And what match is going to sell more tickets? Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar, a match that we've seen twice already, the lukewarm results at best, or Finn Balor, the people's champ, if you will, versus the beast Brock Lesnar. And if that was the case, it is what it is. But, you know, from what I've heard, they've been struggling to sell tickets regardless. I'm hearing reports that they're giving them away 2-for-1. So I think they kind of shot their wide on this one, or kind of outkick the coverage trying to get into the baseball stadium out there in Phoenix. So that's just a huge venue to try to fill and on Rumble. And that's a lot to ask your universe to come out to Phoenix for the Rumble, and then 2 months later you're going to ask them to come out to New York for Mania. So that's just a lot. As far as the bait and switch, even if they did, so what? It's professional wrestling. I had this discussion with Ray Cash on Chairshot Radio last Sunday. By the way, make sure you guys tune into our post-live Rumble show this Sunday coming up. But I talked to him about that because he brought up that AEW might have been a little less than honest in their – he called it press conference. I called it pep rally. I guess that's, potato patata. And it's like this is a business built on snakes and charlatans and sleight of hand. Like, the whole business is a work. So I'm not going to get pissy if they're trying to work. Like, that's what this is.
Exactly. The business is a work is a great point you made right there, and people seem to lose sight of that. And years ago, Adam Pearce, of course now works for WWE, made a great point. He had a week-long string of events for the NWA where he was signed with different promoters and deposit had been received, and he was scheduled to defend the NWA World Heavyweight Championship at each of those. And the NWA came in and wanted him to drop the belt on like a random Tuesday. And he refused to do so because he had been advertised as a champion for the shows the rest of that week. And the NWA's response was, sometimes champions lose. And his response was, look, we have control over this. This is, people know what this business is. It is a work. And it's always been a work, and it's always going to be a work. The biggest thing for me is what you said at the beginning. I don't think Braun versus Brock would sell more tickets than Finn versus Brock. I think Finn versus Brock is the sexier matchup. And I think actually changing it probably would boost ticket sales more than leaving it, in my opinion. So I'm with you, as long as I understood what you were saying right. I think that if anything, they would have kept the match the way, you know, they would have made it Finn short, you know, further out if it was really about ticket sales.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, I hate the fantasy book, but, I mean, hell, that's what we all do anyway. It sucks that they waited so late to make the switch because I thought they could have told a really good story. Hey, I'm just throwing this out there, and I don't know if this is one of your questions later, but I'm assuming that Finn is going to go over. And I'm probably getting worked, but my cry two tears in the bucket, fuck it. You know what I mean? Who cares? But
exactly.
It would have been nice if they would have done a beatdown angle with Brock and Finn and just have Brock just totally beat the holy hell out of Finn. Just beat the brakes off of him, incapacitate him, do the stretcher job, and then we don't hear or see anything from Finn for 2 or 3 weeks prior to the pay-per-view. And then Brock comes out, and we're waiting. We're assuming Finn's going to be there, obviously, but they're leaving that question lingering. Like, is he going to show up? And then all of a sudden, the demon appears, and everybody's just going to go ape shit.
Yeah,
I still think we're going to see the demon this week, though. I'm not going to lie to you, because, I mean, from a kayfabe perspective, how do you slay a beast with a demon?
Yeah, Finn made comments to Sports Illustrated, and that was it, or ESPN, about not being the demon, and that's really it. Here's the thing, though. The way things change, especially these days in WWE, they could have decided a few weeks ago that Finn wasn't going to be the demon, and then decide on Saturday that Finn is going to be the demon. Like, there's no two ways around it. I mean, the Demon's never lost on the main roster and only lost once in NXT. That's, you know, that they could definitely still do that.
And you know how crazy his catch hit Vince is, man. He might go up to Finn 5 minutes before the match. God damn it, Finn! I want the Demon.
Right.
You know what I mean?
takes a few hours to get that paint on, but yeah, they say it does, but they could do a quick paint version if they had to. Like, they could just paint the demon all black and then throw the headdress on him and send him out there. Like, there's things they could do to get it done.
Yeah,
and people would
take him to Earl Shive or makeover or something like that.
Earl
nice
Shive.
Photo, you know?
Wow. Earl Shive. That's amazing. So good. Well, let's shift on over to question number two, the men's Royal Rumble match. Now, this match is a little more wide open. And so it begs us to add a few more names to the mix as we set our odds. So what is the percent chance that someone other than, and I got a few names here, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Samoa Joe, and I threw in your pick just to make things a little more interesting, Rey Mysterio. So what are
Appreciate
the percentage
that.
Odds that someone other than Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Rey Mysterio, or Samoa Joe win the men's Royal Rumble match? So someone other than those four emerge victorious.
You know what? I'm going to, in honor of my favorite movie franchise of all time, which is The Naked Gun, I'm going to say 33 and a third. And the only reason I say 33 and a third is because we still do have weird haircut, veiny body John Cena out there. And, you know, they don't have a lot of marquee matchups lined up for Mania on the men's side. So I could see a scenario where they hotshot Cena into the final picture. So maybe he goes against Brock Lesnar or Finn or Daniel Bryan or something like that. Just so they can get a marquee name and a, you know, marquee matchup and marquee face on the billboard. So that's the only reason. But other than him, I don't see anybody else winning it outside those four that you've already named.
Yeah, it's hard to see somebody outside of those four winning. I mean, maybe a Randy Orton. I don't want to see that again. I think that's, you know, put out there to kind of redirect our attention a little bit. You know, there's a possibility of someone losing a title match and showing up. I think Kevin Owens could have an outside shot if he returns to the Royal Rumble of maybe picking the win and challenging, honestly, Brock Lesnar or Daniel Bryan. You know, if we just go with the current champions, could be interesting opponents for Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of shifts and changes between now and WrestleMania anyway. That seems to be what the WWE wants to do and how they want to tell stories right now. So I still think those four are the odds-on favorites to win, especially Rollins, McIntyre, and Joe. So I'm going to go a little lower than you. I'm going to go with a 25% chance that somebody other than Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Rey Mysterio, or Samoa Joe win the men's Royal Rumble match.
Greg, do you honestly think that WWE even knows what they're going to do for Mania at this point? Do you think they have it fleshed out? Not saying they don't have a outlined in on the whiteboard with erasable ink. But do you really think that they've got the Mania card sold up right now? Because I know
the card. No, I don't think the card is fleshed out. They begin planning WrestleMania pretty much as soon as WrestleMania ends. So when 34 ended, they had an idea in mind for 35. Now things change. And of course, we know things change in October when Roman Reigns had to go away and battle leukemia. That literally changed everything. And you know, I guarantee you there was a plan in place with Roman in mind, and everything shifted from there. So I think they do have a new plan in place. I think right now they know what they're doing with Ronda and Charlotte and Becky and exactly what they're doing with those three at Mania. I think they know where they're going with the Universal Championship. I think they know where they're going with the WWE Championship. And then they probably know what they're doing with The Undertaker. They probably know what they're doing with Shane. And that's, you know, seven entities right there. It's pretty much, and that'll cover obviously whoever's involved with them. I think that's what they know. I think everything else will kind of fall into place over the next few months.
You know, it's funny because I'm assuming for at least the last 5 years, the night after WrestleMania, the main event on the whiteboard has been Brock versus Rock every single year for at least the past 5 years. I'm assuming that's the case.
Maybe. I think that's something. I don't know if they put that on the board because they don't know if. I think what they put on the board is something they know who they have available and that all parties involved are able to do it. I think that's something they want to do, though. And why wouldn't they? I mean, you're looking at the biggest star in you know, sports entertainment today, not taking anything away from The Rock. But Brock is – he's so big he can sell for WWE and UFC right now. If you wanted to, he could pull a Subway Series and work one at one point, take a train over and work the other one at the same time. Like they wouldn't allow it, but he could do that. And Rock is the Rock. He's pretty much the biggest star in the world. So, why wouldn't you want to put that match on? I think you'd be stupid not to be 100% honest with you. So
is it just me or are you also getting WrestleMania 32 in Dallas by with this card right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there's some of that simply because of the changes, the injuries. I mean, 32, I guarantee you after 31, they didn't say, okay, our next main event's going to be Roman Reigns versus Triple H. Like, that was not the plan, and, you know, by any stretch. According to what you've heard or believe, it was probably more of a Seth Rollins and Triple H – or, excuse me, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, possibly even a Shield three-way situation for WrestleMania 32 in the main event. And, of course, things went so crazy. And like you mentioned on another show, they pulled Shane out of nowhere and had him show up for WrestleMania 32. There's a lot that you can do. I can tell you what is on the board for WrestleMania for every single year when it's over. And that is a phrase that we've adopted on my show. Shane must jump. That is something that is on the board for now. As you know, if you listen to something to wrestle
Shane
with,
Shane must jump. I like it.
Exactly. It's WWE in a nutshell. Hogan must pose. Shane must jump. That's that's the way it goes right there. So let's shift gears a little bit into – oh, yes.
I apologize, man. Before you move
You're
on,
good.
You just gave me a hell of an idea, and I'm good, just going to throw it out in the ether. WWE, you can have it for free. I won't even charge you. How about they do a Falls Count Anywhere? No. They do a New York street fight with Miz versus Shane McMahon, and Shane jumps from on top of the Empire State Building. Maybe not the whole top, but he can at least make it up to the torch and then jump from there.
Yeah, I mean, a New York street fight, not surprise me. I think we're getting Shane versus Miz at WrestleMania. Like, that seems to be the logical step. And as you love to say, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. That just seems to be the match to me is Shane versus Miz.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going. And really, it's a good look for Miz because, you know, anything that's McMahon-related, that's considered, you know, main event status. So it's a really good look for Miz. And I'm excited about Miz's face turn. I think he'll be able to do well. And more importantly, he'll be good for the company because anytime he goes out and does any type of pub for it, whether it's on Conan or on radio shows or something like that, he represents the company very well. And he comes across very charming and very likable. And I don't know if you've seen their reality show. I've watched, like, bits and pieces of it, but he's a face on there. And he's a very likable guy. He's charming.
He is. He was the guy.
Miz face turn.
No, there definitely is, especially if Daniel Bryan, I mean, he's continued on the run that he's on. If you tell Daniel Bryan, we want to have a run with the Miz as a face, Daniel Bryan's going to be motivated to be that heel that he runs against. And, yeah, I think that, in all honesty, I can see Daniel Bryan emerging WrestleMania with the rare successful title defense and then having a program with the Miz as things progress throughout the course of the year. I can easily see that happening. Now, that might telegraph my next question a little bit, but that is okay. We're going to move into the four major title matches now and talk about the percent chances for each of those. And what we're going to look at is the percentages that the challenger might emerge victorious and the title might change hands. So we'll start with the men. And the first one is the percent chances AJ Styles defeats Daniel Bryan and wins the WWE Championship.
I'll give it 25%. And I honestly don't think it's that high. If reports are to be believed that AJ actually asked for the title to be taken off of him, I don't think he's going to go back with it that quickly. So I'll say 25%. Plus, I'm just digging this heel Daniel Bryan's title run. So I don't want it to happen. So perhaps I'm biased. But I'll say 25%.
I'm with you. I think Daniel Bryan, he's just getting started in his heel run as champion. So I'm with you 100% and think that he's definitely in a good way. I'm going lower than that. I'm going to go with 15%. I'm going to go 18%. 18% says that AJ Styles wins the WWE Championship. And there's a chance, but there's not much of a chance. I really think this is Daniel Bryan's thing to do, and we'll find out what happens with AJ Styles later. So that's where I'm at and what I'm thinking. So next up, we're going to talk about Finn Balor, and you and I have alluded to this a little bit on other shows, and we've made predictions, and actually tonight at midnight Eastern time, all of the Chair Shots predictions will come out at thechairshot.com, thanks to our good friend PC Tunney, who is putting those together. So what are the percent chances that Finn Balor walks away from Chase Field as the Universal Champion after Sunday night?
I'm going 95, brother. You know what? The hell with it. I'm all in. I'm going 100%. Like, what's 5% of the question? If I'm going 95, I might as well go 100, right? Again, my cry, two tears in the bucket, fuck it. I'm going 100% after Sunday night. Finn Balor will be your new Universal Champion.
I'm with you, man. I can't go 100% chance, but I did pick Finn Balor to win the title. I've written about it. I feel like it's a story they're telling. Vince McMahon said he doesn't believe in Finn Balor. If Finn Balor loses, all that does is prove not believing in him right. And why would you do that to somebody unless you got a bigger plan for WrestleMania? And so it's the potential WrestleMania payoff loom, which causes me to go lower, but I'm pretty up there. I'm going to say a 92% chance that Finn Balor walks away from Chase Field as a Universal Champion. People got to think we're crazy for going so high. They really do, but I can't get off of it, man. I really can't.
Now, to be fair, in the past, WWE has set up storylines where it seemed like it was perfect for the face to come out victorious, and they went the other way. Booker T, Triple H, WrestleMania, 17.
True.
Pardon me. But it's like you said, man, they set the story up perfectly. I mean, you know, he came out initially a couple of weeks ago, Vince, you know, down-dressed him. He had to beat Jinder Mahal, a former WWE champion, to even get into the Fatal 4-Way. He pinned John Cena, who's the guy. Cena does the whole hand-raised endorsement thing. He comes out last week. He has a hell of a showing versus Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. And conventional WWE booking, at the end of the night, he was laid out by Brock Lesnar. So if we go by conventional WWE booking, he who goes over on the go-home show typically does the honors at the actual pay-per-view. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. And perhaps I'm getting work, but I don't care, man. I'm going all in, man. Finn Balor is going to have his hand raised, and he's going to get his Universal title back come Sunday.
Let me ask you this as an aside before we go to the next match. Isn't getting worked the point?
It is, because at the end of the day, we forget, man, we were fans of this shit. That's why we talk about it now. And we're fortunate enough to sit here and talk shit about something that we love and actually have people listen to it. So my 10 of fans, I appreciate each and every one of you. I really do. But, yeah, that is the point, man, and I think sometimes we lose sight of that. And, you know, too much information isn't always a good thing, because now we start to think that we know more than we actually do, and we forget that we're fans. We become ultra critical of everything that goes on. Sometimes you just got to STFU, man. Sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I went to a wrestling event years ago, an indie show, and a guy that I'd known for years, and he was older and had suffered an injury, came out and kind of did a retirement speech. And that's part of the reason why I went. He does this retirement speech, and I had been out of the scene completely. This is before I came back and put shows on. And they're out there, and they're doing the whole thing. And then at the end, very end, you know, the guy who injured him comes out, legit injury too, like completely legit injury. They talk and they forgive him, and all is said and done, right? Then they jump him at the end of the segment and just completely attack him and use it for heat. And I texted the guys afterwards, and I was just like, I'm going to be honest, you got me. Like, you got me hook, line, and sinker, and it was beautiful. It was amazing. And that's – nowadays, I think people don't want to admit when they get worked. Like, they want to be so smart that you can't work them. But there's just no fun in that.
No,
exactly.
And that's the whole point. Like, you should pop your collar when they work you. That means they're doing their job. Like, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's completely it's if you don't want to get worked, man, go watch something else. Like, it's just this makes no sense to me whatsoever. But let's switch on over. We have the SmackDown Women's Championship, which of course is Becky Lynch challenging Asuka. So what is the percentage chance that Becky Lynch actually wins the SmackDown Women's Championship?
You know, Greg, these women's picks are a lot tougher than the men's picks because I have an idea of where I think they're going, but you just don't know. Just for the sake of argument, I'm going to say 50-50 here. I do ultimately, I think Asuka's going to go over, and that's what I put in my picks that I sent to PC Tunney. Again, the column will come out this midnight. But I don't know. And I say I don't know because with the new news that's come out with Ronda Rousey, we don't know what's going on with that either. The situation is up in the air. Again, WWE might have threw a red herring out there just to kind of create some suspense for the whole angle, but yeah, I'm going to say 50-50. I think it's going to be a hell of a match. I can't wait for it. But you know what? I'll go 60-40 Asuka because I am leaning towards Asuka walking into Mania with the belt. So I'll say 60-40 Asuka. I won't go 50-50.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to be pretty close. It's funny because I think Becky Lynch faces Nia Jax at WrestleMania. And so once I pencil that into my WrestleMania card, the question is how they get there. For a title, which I don't think it needs to be. And if it is to be for the SmackDown Women's Championship, then you got Nia winning the Rumble and Becky needs to win the belt. Even though there's two more pay-per-views after the Rumble before WrestleMania, which I think we tend to forget as well. We tend to treat things as in we go straight from Rumble to Mania. There's still two more stops before that takes place.
Oh, you're right. Because, Mania is the beginning of April, so we've got the Elimination Chamber, I think, next month, and then whatever they got going on in March.
Yeah. Exactly, and I think people tend to forget about that. I tend to forget about it, too. That being said, I'm 50-50 like you were. I can't quite go 50-50, so I'm going to go 45% chance that Becky Lynch wins the SmackDown Women's Championship. I really think Asuka's walking away with that title, but you just never know. They're doing something with Becky. I don't think it's Ronda, and therefore it kind of opens things up just a little bit for me, so 45% chance that Becky Lynch wins the SmackDown Women's Championship. I know you love the next one, so we're going to jump right into it as we still have the Raw Women's Championship as Ronda Rousey defends against the boss, Sasha Banks. So what are the percent chances, Chris, that your pseudo lady, Sasha Banks, walks out as the Raw Women's Champion?
Still working on getting her on the threesome list, Greg. Not going to lie to you, brother. As it stands right now, the only young lady on the threesome list is Rihanna. So, again, every podcast I do, I throw that out into the ether, you know, hoping that it'll come back on the law of attraction side of the game. But
is that just because the lady hasn't accepted her being on the list? I'm confused.
Exactly. The only woman that she has accepted to be on the list is Rihanna. So it's a one of one.
But
right?
Why? Has she said why?
I think she's a little jealous of my infatuation for Sasha, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay,
I think that's,
all right, that's understandable. I guess so.
Yeah.
That's understandable. I don't buy into it personally, but I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it. So,
I'm
so
not.
Well, it's not me. It's not my list. So that's why.
I should probably play it a little more cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got time. You got time.
It took her a while before she even became a fan of Sasha because my fandom was just so over the top. And it wasn't just because I find her attractive. I really thought when she first came up, and this is one of the ones I whipped on completely, I really thought that she had the most crossover appeal of anybody on the entire roster. I still believe that, but obviously WWE doesn't, which I understand that because she is a little injury pro, so I can understand. And she's been kind of marked with that. Yeah. And she's been marked with that scarlet letter, so there's only so far.
Which is why I'm surprised they're putting her in with the Golden Goose this close to WrestleMania. Like, I'm really surprised that they're doing that. I even thought about that the other day. I'm like, why would they put Sasha if they're so worried about, you know, the injury thing and the injury she's been on the giving end of as well? Why would they put her in there with Ronda Rousey? But obviously, they're not as afraid of that fact as some of us have been afraid of online over the past few years. And they're that maybe not blaming her for some of the injuries that have been caused as much as we might think they are.
Well, I mean, it's a marquee matchup, and while they don't see her at the top of the card, she still is a very important part of the women's division. So if you notice, the way they use her, they get her wins where they can get her wins, and other than that, they give her, like, really good showings. Like, she had a really good showing last year at the Rumble. Obviously, she didn't win it, but she had a really good showing. So that's their way, I think, of Udo keeping her strong. And it's a marquee matchup. Now, as far as this match, as of 3 days ago, I probably would have said 5-10% for Sasha actually pulling this out. But with these new reports coming out, and, you know, you really don't know what to believe. I know Meltzer and Ryan Satin, I had something in my throat there. They came out and said that Ronda was walking away after Mania. I know TMZ has recently reported that she's not walking away after Mania. So we really don't know. There's just a lot of smoke and mirrors going on out there. We really don't know what's happening. That being said, I would push process chances up to maybe 25% now. Because it's funny, because all these matches, well, not all these matches, but the two Raw matches, man, I could see them both playing out the same way. The underdog ends up getting the victory because of some shenanigans from some outside interference, and then that's how we get to our Mania match. So I'd give Sasha 25% right here.
You know, I look at this match as they basically said, you know, they know what they're doing with Ronda at Mania, but we got to do something with her at Rumble. It's one of our marquee shows. Who do we put her in there? How do we get the best match? We do it with Sasha Banks. You went 100% chance on Balor winning the Universal Championship. To me, 0% chance that Sasha Banks walks out of the Royal Rumble as the Raw Women's Champion. 0%. I know you did. I'm sorry.
You're probably not wrong, though, and I'm probably just a homer, but yeah, that wouldn't cut deep.
But that's okay. You're supposed to get emotionally involved, so that's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So now we get some of the bonus questions here, although this one was on the list, so I guess this one isn't quite bonus just yet, but we've talked about this. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. This has come up on almost every show. I think it's expected at this point, and it would almost be a disappointment if it doesn't happen. What is the percent chance that the Velveteen Dream appears in the Royal Rumble?
I love his 90s porn music, by the way. I mean, I can just close my eyes and imagine, like, Peter North or something, just giving it to some poor woman. But that's the
end there. You know what's funny? When you sing the music, there's not a huge difference between Velveteen Dream's music and the Undisputed Era's music. It's just like almost as if it's just played a little bit. They just synthesized it differently. But the beat and the cadence is almost the same. Like, it's kind of crazy.
That's just attributed to my non-melodic ass. That's all that is, man. That's it. We don't all have rhythm, I know. Spoiler alert. But you know what, Greg? I'm going to go out on a limb on this one as well, man. And I'm going to say there is a 100% chance that the Velveteen Dream shows up in the Royal Rumble. And like I told you yesterday, brother, when he shows up, y'all better turn the fuck up for this man when he shows up, because he is the future. And it's just, one of the tip-pole events for NXT, and you don't have the top guy on the roster on the card. So that lets me know that he's doing some other things. And I think he's going to be wrestling. Don't they have like an access like tournament type show or something like that weekend as well?
They do, yeah.
Okay.
Which
so
will appear, which will then, which will stream next weekend on the network. And then I watched NXT UK yesterday. They're also taping three episodes of NXT UK while they're out here. So I'm assuming that's all going to happen during Access as well. There's a lot of wrestling during Access if you're down for that. So go check it out. It starts already. So definitely, just like that Pro Wrestling Tee sale is going on now, 15% off, promo code Rumble. You can also check things out at Access, see some really good wrestling. If that's what you're into. If you're not, you know, if you're there for the storytelling and the pomp and circumstance, that's coming. But the great in-ring action is already available to you as part of Access. And we don't get paid to say that. That's the truth. I'm with you, man. I cannot see Velveteen Dream not like the surprise NXT Royal Rumble entrant. It seems tailor-made. If you look at the year the guy has had, I can't imagine him not being in this match. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, like you said, the place will just be on fire when he comes out. I'll go nuts, I can tell you that. You know, Miranda, she would go nuts as well. As we're going to be sitting together, it just I can't imagine it going any other way. It's WWE, so I can't go 100%, but man, 98% chance for me that Velveteen Dream is
come
in
on,
the Ray. Royal Rumble. 98%
come
chance.
On, let the nuts hang, brother. What's 2% points, man? Let the nuts hang, man. You kids at school, man. You can let them out.
That's so true. Oh, my goodness. No, 98%. But I tell you what, that means I really think it's going to happen, and I fully expect it to be a very exciting moment. You guys were talking yesterday about Velveteen Dream on the main roster. And I look at him, and it's so funny because we talk about what his trajectory is. And think back to the early days when I was a fan, and you didn't see guys like Hulk Hogan and Dusty Rhodes and all of them. Like, you didn't see them on a week to week basis like we see talent now. And that's what Velveteen Dream strikes me as. Like, I think his best days are on the main roster, and I don't think it's, you know, some people said it's a shame if he leaves NXT without winning a championship. That means nothing in the long run.
No,
like,
no,
winning a championship in NXT, unless you're going to be an NXT lifer, which is a thing now, I guess, just doesn't do it for me, so I'm not wholly worried about that. But I think if you bring him up to the main roster and – look, maybe an appearance in the Rumble means he's going to the main roster. Maybe it's just a one-off until after Mania. Who knows? Although he is built for WrestleMania. Like, you look at that character, you look at the entrance, you look at the mystique. Like, he is built for WrestleMania. If you got – you can't put him on TV every week, in my opinion. Like, he is the specialty act, like Hogan, like Dusty, like all of them. Like, he can't be on TV every week. Otherwise, it's not special anymore. He's that kind of special, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you on that, and it's the Shinsuke conundrum, because I thought that way when Shinsuke first got called up. He's not a guy that needs to be on TV every week. He needs to be more of a special attraction, and the irony is they put him out there all day, every day initially, and now they're kind of pulling back, so it's like, okay, now we get it, but I think the damage has been done, and I think he's kind of been slotted to where he's slotted. I think he's kind of positioned in that upper mid-card slot. Now, that's not all WWE's part, because he's been mailing it in since he's been there. Like, how many really great matches that he actually has since he's been there? And I'm not mad at him for trying to get his money either. But I agree with you. It's not a character that you can display every week. I'm just scared they're going to screw this up, point blank period. I agree with you that he's not a character that you need to display every week, but I'm just scared he's going to get up to the main roster and they're going to find some way, somehow, to screw this up. And I feel like he's the deuce that laid the golden egg. So I'm just nervous right now about his main roster debut. And I don't know
reasonable.
What to do.
That's reasonable, because they don't tell stories like they used to, and Velveteen Dream needs the old method of storytelling. Like, that's just what that character needs. So I understand why you feel the way you do. Speaking of a guy who only appears sporadically these days, this is one of those bonus questions now not on the list, but we've talked about it, and you and I are kind of on the same page, I believe. What is the percentage chance that John Cena appears in the Royal Rumble match?
100%. John Cena's going to be in the Royal Rumble. I mean, he doesn't have to do a whole lot, even if they throw him out, you know, 5 minutes after he gets in the ring. You got to have Cena there. Why the hell not? They can fly him in that morning. He can come perform at the Rumble. And I mean, he can just go through the motions and do what he does. He's going to be in the Royal Rumble match, point blank, period.
You know, it's funny, the Royal Rumble, until we get down to the final few, the Royal Rumble is really all about entrances. Like, that's what this has become. Like, this is all about the buzzer and then the music and then the entrance. Like, it's 90 seconds waiting for the next guy in a lot of ways, or the next female. And I do believe that, you know, John Cena appearing in the Royal Rumble, it just makes sense. Like, everyone's talking about this foot injury that they're talking about, and they're teasing it online, and WWE's written articles about it. That's where people are getting worked. Like, to me, it's just setting it up so that you're excited when Cena actually does come in the Royal Rumble. This movie doesn't even start filming until early February, so the movie's not an issue either. Rarely do two people agree on a 100% chance, because that's not how the game works. I'm with you, man. I cannot fathom a way. Like, I can fathom a little way that Velveteen Dream isn't in the Royal Rumble. I cannot fathom how John Cena is not in the Royal Rumble match. So, to me, John Cena, 100% chance, will be in the men's Royal Rumble match.
And
let me ask you.
He is somewhat injured. When's the last time an injury has ever stopped John Cena? I mean, this guy's fucking RoboCop, for Pete's sake. Like, he'll be out there.
Right.
Now, I think
Braun Strowman can't wrestle Brock Lesnar, but can be in the Royal Rumble match because of the injury. It's that's why things with Finn went the way they did, although Strowman put in a good performance. I just think that, this is people read too much into things sometimes. So after WrestleMania 34, I cannot see how a 2-minute squash match ends things between John Cena and The Undertaker. I just can't. So if John Cena's in the Royal Rumble match, which you and I both believe, what is the percentage chance that at some point during the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, of course, probably taking place during the Royal Rumble match, unless it happens during Brock Lesnar's match with Finn Balor, which I think it could, if you look at history going back to WrestleMania 30, what is the percentage chance that at some point during the evening, The Undertaker's gong goes off?
Interesting. I'll give you 20%, because I see where you're coming from. You don't think that program is over, but the last few times we've seen Taker, it's been all bad, man. I don't even know. Obviously, I do know. I don't want to see Taker wrestle anymore, but I mean, he looked bad. I mean, he walks like if Napoleon was still alive today. Like, he had lived as long, he was born when he was born, and he's still living today and walking around. That's how Undertaker walks now. but I'll give it 20%. Maybe we get to run back. And that might be the safest thing for everybody. Honestly, I want to see John Cena in a role where he's giving the rub to a new guy and trying to put them over and elevate them. So I see, like, McIntyre and Cena doing something at Mania. But I'll give it a 20% chance that we hear the gong and rumble.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a huge chance. There's two major stories that you still have to tell with The Undertaker, John Cena and Brock Lesnar. I can't see him not wanting another match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. That could even be how The Undertaker goes out, is losing to Brock Lesnar.
Like, literally, that's how he goes out. Like, Brock Lesnar will kill him. Literally.
Oh, goodness. Shouldn't that be the way The Undertaker goes, though, is that you never see him again? Like,
well,
give his character.
That's your as hell to do it, man. Like, Brock Lesnar will grind him into urn ashes, man, if they get back in the ring together. Brock plays rough, man. Taker can't take that at this point, though.
He does. He does. I put it at 35% chance. I still can't go over 50. I still think it's less likely to happen. But, again, just like real. Well, to me, seems all about the pops. And imagine that pop if that gong goes off. No, you don't think they could pull it off.
What's that?
I say if they could pull it off, I don't think they can, because it's just too quick to turn things around unless you have a body double. If the gong hits, if Finn Balor's wrestling the Brock Lesnar, and it's Finn Balor, not the Demon, the gong hits, the lights go off, lights come back on, and all of a sudden it's the Demon in the ring. Like, that would be. You can't pull it off. It's impossible. I mean, it's a magic trick. I'm sure you can. But that would be a hell of an Undertaker-type moment to do that.
Nice. I like that. And, I mean, to be fair, man, a flight from Texas to Phoenix, that's only an hour and a half, 2-hour flight. So it's not outside the realm of possibility.
Well, that's the thing. Like, an Undertaker, you wouldn't fly him into Phoenix. You'd fly him into, like, Tucson or something, and then you drive up. Like, you got to keep that secret. You know, that's how they do those things. They fly into a near airport. You could fly into Mesa, which is a smaller airport, but it's only, you know, miles away versus Tucson, which is an hour and a half away, and then drive him over. But there's you got to keep it secret, though. I don't even know if he's supposed to make any appearances at Access. I haven't looked to see. And if so, that telegraphs things even more, but who knows. Last one. Because you had such an adverse reaction to this last night on this war when it was suggested, actually, you had the adverse reaction to Finn Balor showing up in the Royal Rumble as a demon, which we're not going to talk about here. But we've talked about this, and this has been bandied about a little bit, really only on the chair, not nowhere else. And so if it happens, we're going to take full credit for it. What is the percentage chance that Becky Lynch appears in the men's Royal Rumble match?
I love the idea. I really do. And it fits with the whole the man thing. I'm going to say, just because I think it's fun, I'm going to give it my neck and gun rating. I'm going to say 33 1/3%, just because I think it's a fun storyline and it'd be cool if she threw out a couple of dudes. Like, I mean, you can sacrifice, you know, Zack Ryder or Kurt Hawkins or, you know, or Ty Dillinger or something like that. No disrespect, because I know you're a huge Ty Dillinger fan, but you can sacrifice a couple of guys
of course,
for the sake of it. Yeah,
I'm a huge Ty Dillinger fan, and I'm okay with him being sacrificed for Becky Lynch. I think it'd be a heck of a moment for her. I think it fits in with the character, which is why, you know, when we suggested it on Tuesday, I'm definitely down with it. I can't go too much higher. I'm going to give it a 39% chance of actually taking place. I don't think it's a huge possibility, but I do think it's a thought that people need to entertain and realize that more likely, you know, it's something that people haven't really thought about, and that's a good thing. Again, surprises are good. So nothing wrong with that.
So give me an out-of-left-field person, either a man or a woman, that nobody is – that they're not even on the radar of anybody whatsoever that might appear in the Rumble.
I said it on Tuesday, and I'll say it – okay, let me present to you the topic that I brought up on Tuesday, because what I don't like about this Royal Rumble is the fact that we know who number 30 is for both the men and the women. I just – you know, 30 has been this thing over the past few years. Like, Trish Stratus was number 30 in the Women's Royal Rumble, the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. And, you know, while it was, you know, 30 in the Men's Royal Rumble wasn't as exciting. But when you say that, when we already know that R-Truth is coming in number 30, it removes some of that anticipation. So here's what I could see WWE trying to pull off. Because you talked about it earlier. With the injury bug and everything that's been going on, this time period really has a WrestleMania 32 vibe going to it. And of course, before 32, they had Reigns actually defend the WWE Championship in the Royal Rumble match, which they haven't done before. They had it vacant and up for grabs in the Royal Rumble match, but not defended like they did with Roman Reigns at 32. I think Vince wants to pull off something huge at the Royal Rumble and really make sure that everyone is talking about WWE, that people stop talking about All Elite Wrestling. People stop focusing on the contractual battles between Ring of Honor and Major League Wrestling and all of that. I think that Vince McMahon wants to own the marketplace between now and WrestleMania. So here's what I proposed on Tuesday and pretty much got laughed off the airways. Number 30 happens. It's R-Truth. He goes in the ring. He does his dance break, does his thing, whatever. About 90 seconds later, a 10-second clock starts ticking again. Even though number 30 is already in the ring, 10 seconds counts down, hits zero, out comes Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon walks out, not to enter the Royal Rumble match. He's not wrestling, but he comes out with a microphone. He informs everybody that he has signed number 31 to compete in the Royal Rumble match, and it's Kenny Omega. And Kenny Omega then doesn't win, but Kenny Omega goes in, enters the Royal Rumble. Is factors into, you know, the final four, whatever you want to call it, and the wrestling world goes crazy.
I'm not going to laugh you off the face of the earth, but the way I understand it, and again, we don't know, man. The whole business is the work. But I believe that Kenny's contract doesn't run out with New Japan until somewhere around the 26th or 27th, something like that.
The end of January, and February 1st is available.
Okay.
But what does Vince McMahon have a lot of that can make those things go away?
Money?
Exactly. I think money, you know, you'd have to pay somebody off and do something, but it's not like Omega is going to be appearing for New Japan between now and then. And I think that they can make things happen and they can buy it out. And there's just things that you can do. They already know Omega's not coming back. They already know that, you know, it's not like it would cost New Japan anything to have him doing that. It wouldn't cost him anything in the marketplace or anything anywhere. They've already sold out G1 Supercard and Madison Square Garden. They're good. But they could make a cool $100,000 off of it and pay that towards, or even $1 million, pay that towards somebody's contract. I think Vince would do that to get people talking again, because that's what I think this is all about. You guys talked about it last night on Pod is War about, you know, if the ratings aren't that important, why is Vince back on television? Why is all this happening? To me, I think it's more about the buzz and the talking. It's because people have been questioning things. It's because people have been paying attention to other products besides WWE. That's why they're doing the things they're doing. I think Vince is more worried about the buzz and the chatter than he's worried about the ratings. Not that ratings aren't important. They are, but they're not as important as people like to think they are. I think Vince wants to own the marketplace, and I think this is a move that could do that.
Touche, touche. I'm gonna go with the animal Batista. I think there's a percentage, there's a possibility we see a Batista sighting at the Rumble this year, because I don't know how Triple H is doing with his rehab, but I mean there are certain methods that can speed up recovery time. Even though that injury looks very brutal. But then eventually they have to pay off that Batista Triple H storyline. Like that's the, you know what I mean?
I agree.
Batista's been talking about it for years, and why not? If you can't get the one movie star, why not go get the other movie star that has WWE ties?
No, and it would benefit Batista. I mean, to be able to promote, you know, and have him out there as we head towards this major movie release for the Avengers and the fourth installment. It makes perfect sense. So I could definitely see that taking place and being a part of everything. Batista makes perfect sense to me, and I would love to see it happen. Plus, with, you know, everybody says Triple H is back training again. He revealed that in a conference call. He's going to be there at WrestleMania. He's going to wrestle. And a long time ago, I predicted Shane McMahon versus Triple H for this WrestleMania. Now I think that's the Miz, but you got to have Triple H in a match. Batista makes sense. You know, at the 25th anniversary of Raw, whatever it was, the last time Evolution was together, Batista made the comment that Triple H hasn't beaten him. So that is something that tells me that, you know, this is definitely coming, whether it's this year or next year, and why not this year. Let me ask you this. All these talks about surprises for the Royal Rumble, is there anything that could really be a major surprise for the Women's Royal Rumble match?
You mean other than Thanos? let me see. Major surprise for the Women's Rumble. Maybe Karma, but I think she's doing the acting thing now, so I don't think that's going to happen. Plus, that didn't really end well the last time.
And
we
I don't
tried
think.
To do that.
I don't think people would react to it. I think so much time has passed. I don't think there'd be as much of a reaction.
Nope. That's true. Nobody knows who she is at this point. No, maybe Kyrie Sane. I mean, but that's still kind of in the wheelhouse. I mean, that's not like a huge surprise, but
right.
I think she will get an appearance in trouble. But yeah, I don't think there is any women surprises out there that they could really pull out their hat. There's no women that are really gonna move the needle that we won't anticipate coming, like, you know, your Lita's, your Trish's. Other than that, yeah,
right.
I don't know who else. I mean, Mae Young's not around anymore, rest her soul, Lula's not around, China's not around, like maybe Santino's sister can come back.
Yeah, but even that would be, at this point, you know how much hate that would get from you know, James Ellsworth, how much hate that would get if he entered the Royal Rumble.
You got
that
point, man. I forgot.
The only person
right now, you can't do shit anymore.
The only person I think would be a surprise for this Royal Rumble in terms of the women. Well, there's two. One that I joked about that I don't actually think would happen is Stephanie McMahon. If she entered the Royal Rumble match, I think that would be a big surprise, but I don't think she's doing that. The only one I think could really surprise anybody is the one that's probably never going to happen. That's AJ. I think if AJ were to make an appearance in the Women's Royal Rumble, people would go crazy. But I don't see it happen. I just don't.
No, it's kind of rough, man, when they fire your husband on the day of your wedding. Like, I'm sure there's hurt feelings there, too.
Money cures all. Money cures all, because if AJ appears, then of course that gets people talking about Punk. But remember, she was the one who stuck around for a year after Punk left. So she still continued to appear, and it wasn't until after WrestleMania 32 that she was gone. So it's, you know, she was still around for a little bit before going. But I know she's kind of said she's tired. Who knows? Again, it's, you know, she's like a step below Punk in terms of people who would never come back. He's the kind of the ultimate probably never come back person, at least until the money runs out. So that's
exactly. And I mean, it might not run out for a long time because he doesn't appear to have any vices, so he might be able to hold on to his money. But my I say the same thing every time, brother. If Warrior came back, anybody can come back. Point blank. Period.
That's true. That is very much true. So, 100%. I am good. Yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm excited for Sunday. I think we're going to have a good time, and I'm definitely 100% in on it. So, good stuff, man. Well, that really covers everything for today.
Sounds good, man. So, before I get you out of here, man, I have to ask you, because you're going to be at NXT and the World Rumble, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so what are you most looking forward to?
I mean, between the two, I'm more looking forward to the Royal Rumble match. I think that one is the big match to me, or the bigger show to me, and the one that I'm more excited for. NXT, I'm excited just to kind of be there and to see sort of the scene, to really just kind of be a part of that. I've never been to NXT. I know you've been to NXT Live once. Never been to a live NXT event. So to be there for TakeOver, and that I'm excited about. Do I wish – the only thing I'm upset about, there's two. One is Velveteen Dream, but I think he's going to appear in the Rumble. The other one is that I'm not excited about not seeing is Adam Cole. Just not having Adam Cole, not having the Adam Cole entrance and screaming Adam Cole, baby. That's the only thing that I'm down about with this Royal Rumble, or with this TakeOver event. I still think TakeOver is going to be great, but the Royal Rumble is what I'm most excited about. The surprises, the atmosphere. They've never run this baseball stadium before, and baseball stadium shows are a little more rare for WWE, especially in this era. Football stadiums are more suited towards the big stage and the entrance and all of that. So I'm excited to see what it looks like and what they do. So I'm in on it, though, and I think it's going to be exciting. So I'm really exciting to see how everything goes and just how everything shakes out. So I'm really excited for the Royal Rumble match itself, especially the men's, because of the surprises, because that's the one that lends itself to me to the most surprises. I think that is, you know, that's always going to be fun to watch them. I mean, I still remember watching the Royal Rumble before 32 and seeing AJ Styles come out and just being shocked at that appearance and the fact that was able to happen, because if you remember, people thought he was under contract then as well and wouldn't be able to appear yet. You know, with the whole Kenny Omega vibe. Nah, Kenny Omega's probably not going to be there, but still, it's always fun to imagine. But I want to see those things happen, and the opportunity to be there live and be a part of it is good. So, and just the atmosphere in general, I'm really excited about that atmosphere. With everything that's going on, to be able to get immersed in that twice is really exciting to me. So I'm 100% down.
Bruh, I was actually at the last Rumble that was at Phoenix. It was at the Phoenix Suns Arena. I forgot what they call it now. You know, they change their names every, you know, 2 or 3 years. But, that was the one where CM Punk and Rock headlined. And there's nothing like being in the house for a Rumble match. And that wasn't even one of the better Rumbles that they've ever had. But just the atmosphere in that match and the countdown and the surprises and everything, there's nothing like it, man. If you're a wrestling fan, going to a Royal Rumble should be on your bucket list, right up there with going to a WrestleMania. It really is a very unique experience, and you're guaranteed to have a good time.
Yeah, which is another part of the reason why I'm excited to have gone. To a Royal Rumble, so the chance to go to a Royal Rumble is exciting as well. So definitely good there too. So wonderful, man. Well, this has been fun.
Shout out to the cockeyed fat guy that I bought my ticket from off Craigslist. I can't remember your name, man, but I appreciate you, bro. I really do.
Dad, let me ask you this, and this is so off topic, but not fully off topic. That Royal Rumble, I'm glad I didn't go to it, because having, you know, The Rock beat CM Punk and Cena win the Rumble, it just seems like it seems so obvious to me where they were headed, and it just seemed to be a lot of what people didn't want to see. And I think that was really the beginning of the end for CM Punk, even though it went a whole nother year. I don't think he wanted to lose to The Rock because The Rock was a part-timer. I don't think he saw the bigger picture. Like, to me, being there live, obviously, things feel very different. But I don't know. I just don't think I would have loved that one. And it wasn't as wide open as maybe this one is.
It wasn't the best Rumble they've ever had. And then, you know, prior to the match, The Rock cut that weird promo that he was kind of stumbling and didn't really make any sense. But, number one, it was the Rumble, and the Rumble is always going to be fun, especially live. No matter how predictable it was just fun to see, you know, people come out. Jericho was one of the huge surprises. We got a Godfather,
right.
You know, surprise. So that it was just cool. And plus, I had never seen The Rock wrestle live either, so I got to check that off my bucket list as well. So not the best match. Him and Punk really didn't have great chemistry in any of their matches, but I still got to see The Rock perform live, so that was cool. But overall, it just being there for the Rumble, man, just the total experience and the totality of what the moment meant, that meant more than the actual individual performances. And even though the Rumble itself wasn't up to par, it was still cool just to be in the house.
Yeah, and I could see that too, especially seeing The Rock live, because I've seen The Rock live a few times, and you just can't, I mean, you just can't beat seeing The Rock live. Like, he is that good. So I'm with you on that one, 100%. So awesome. Well, this has been fun, and I appreciate you jumping in here for an hour and having some fun with the people. We'll get this out right away. Remind everybody the best way to find you on the social media.
You all can find me at The Real C Platt on Twitter. Bring your questions, comments, and concerns. I welcome them all. But more importantly than that, again, join the movement. Take your stinking asses to ProWrestlingTeam.com/TheChairShot and pick up your official Chair Shot merchandise. Get the old school, get the new school. Mix it up. Come help us out. Please and thank you, please.
That's right. Don't forget, the sale is going on right now. Through noon on Monday, do a little 15% off promo code Rumble over there. And from what I understand, before this sale is over, the Jesus Did the Job shirt and the Save Tag Team Wrestling shirt should be available. We'll keep those out as soon as possible so you can get the 15% off on those as well. Save a little bit of money. So very, very excited about those to be up there.
Did you get the picture of Cash and Zono, Jesus Christ, actually on the shirt?
No, just the text that you've seen before with that Jesus font that we seem to see on every Jesus shirt.
The Jesus font.
My bad,
but that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do? So, excited about that. Let me. You've seen the font. You know it's that blue color. What color shirt do you think that should go on?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I have to think about that for a little bit. Maybe like a maroon red to represent the bloodshed, or is that too much?
That's good. I like that.
If there's a hell, I'm already going anyway, man. So fuck it. I might as well go with gasoline draws on, okay?
Oh, my goodness. That's so good. That is so good for the blood. That's awesome. So, excellent. Well, of course, be on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg, and you can find the website at thechair.com. Go to the website. Lots of articles. There's a preview for the Royal Rumble will be up later today. Just a lot of great content, some live coverage during the Rumble itself, and so many good things going on. So enjoy, Chris. I say thank you, and depending on how things go around, could be more of these to come next week.
Hey, man, the pleasure's all mine, brother. Always nice to be on with El Capitan. Thank you guys for tuning in, and hopefully we'll see you next time. And until then, shalom. And go Rumble.
Here comes up.
Y'all don't really want it like that.
Yeah. Here comes up.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.